God's good. Amen. I'm just a little bit disgusted this morning. There are people who are trying to rob Christmas. Yeah, did you know that? Some of them are Christians. Yeah. And listen, you know what? What they're saying is not false. Because one of the things they say, well, you know, Christmas is really a celebration. They talk about different gods and so forth. And yes, there's some truth to all that. By the way, did you know the god of this world is Satan? And so I probably shouldn't be here. But I am. And yes, those things are true. Yes, there's a lot of paganism that's developed through it, and I'll tell you what, we have taken it to a new height in our nation. But my Savior still came. Amen? And it's something to celebrate. Whether you think it was December 25th, or as one guy said, September 11th, which just happens to be my birthday, which I thought he was really right on target with that. By the way, he had some very, very good reasoning, and that's a long story. But I don't know. The Bible doesn't say when Jesus was born, but we know that he came. Amen? And praise the Lord. Listen, the angels sang at his coming. And you and I, we look back, and we can too. Now, what we're very thankful for is that Jesus came for a purpose. It was to die upon the cross of Calvary. Amen. He came that he might be like you and I, that he might do what you and I should do. That's pay for our own sin. But he died, he was separated from God, that you and I would not be separated from God for eternity. And thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't stay dead. He arose from the grave. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning on a part of the Christmas story. I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 1. You say, well, today is just the first Sunday in December. Well, no, it's not the first Sunday, it's the second Sunday. But why do we sing Christmas Carol this morning? Well, because Q wanted to. Good enough reason for me, and I'm glad we did. And we have a Savior that came. Amen. And going to celebrate it. And folks do it different ways. They do it different ways. You know, I mean, we give gifts. And when we celebrate things, we normally give gifts. Somebody said, why don't we ever give a gift to Jesus? Well, we ought to. Matter of fact, we ought to do that every week, you know, as we give our tithes and our offerings. But thank the Lord that He came. What I want us to look at this morning is how He came. What a tremendous story. There are a lot of folks who don't believe this. There's a lot of so-called, they call themselves Christian, we call them cults, and they have this one wrong. And that is that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. And He did it in a very unique way, and that is through the virgin birth. Wow. A virgin conceived. How did she conceive? It was not another man. It was the Holy Spirit of God. God caused her to become pregnant and to bear a child. I'm absolutely flabbergasted. I stop and think about this. God came in the person of a little child, that which is most vulnerable. And yet Satan couldn't stop him. Couldn't stop him. And he came, he was born, he lived into manhood, went to the cross that you and I might have everlasting life. Look at verse number 1, verse number 18 of chapter number 1, please, of the book of Matthew. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. As his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, or of the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you so much. We have the privilege to enter this house this day with the Word of God. We thank you today for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all we ask today that you would just teach us. Oh God, you might comfort us, you might convict us. Spirit of God, we want you to have control. And that our hearts and our minds might be spoken to from above. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a tremendous fact in the Word of God, and that fact is that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. The Bible plainly says that in verse number 23, as it quotes from the book of Isaiah and chapter number 7. In Isaiah 7:14, it says it almost the same. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. According to Matthew, we understand that that word Emmanuel means God with us. God came in the form of human flesh in this babe, born to this woman and then to this dad. The Old Testament prophecies are very precise in telling us that the Christ that was to be born of a virgin is the eternal Son of God. In the book of Micah, chapter number 5 and verse number 2, it tells us very plainly that He would be born in Bethlehem's manger, and that His goings forth would be from everlasting. Allow me to read that. It says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The everlasting one, the eternal one, the one whom we look at and we call Jesus, the one who's the Son of God, the one who is God in the flesh, has come that you and I might have a Savior. Thank God for that. We are told in Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, that a child was born and a son was given. You'd understand there'd be a difference there. The child is born, but the Son, who is the Son of God, was given. And the exact wording there is very crucial. Christ's virgin birth. In other words, the child was born, beginning, denoted the beginning of His incarnation as God made flesh. But He's also the Son, the eternal Son, who had no beginning. Again, Isaiah 9:6 says this, for unto us a child is born, and us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We have a virgin born Son of God who is God with us. There's a purpose to it all, and that purpose we find is that He might become a man. That He might become a man, first of all, that He can make an atonement for man's sin. That He might be able to reconcile us unto God. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. That ransom, by the way, is paid only in death. Romans 5, verse 11 says, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. He came that He might die for us because of our sin." Thank God He became a man that you and I can be reconciled to God. What's it mean to be reconciled? Well, it's really pretty simple. I'm looking at Q right now. I'm looking at his mother-in-law. And Edna and Q. They're a seat apart from each other. And maybe sometimes as mother-in-law and son-in-law, there's some differences. I'm sure there probably has been, but don't tell us any of them or we'll have to go through all that again. But what happens when we have our differences? There must be a reconciliation. Sometimes it takes a third party to reconcile. Sometimes we are at such bitter ends with each other that whatever we say, it's just going to boom. You know what I'm saying? We are at enmity, the Bible says, with God. And Jesus Christ came to this world as a man that He might reconcile God and man together, because He is the God-man. And He did it by pleasing God's wrath against our sin. And then by introducing us to a God who is willing to accept us upon that basis. And thus you and I can come into the very presence of God. That's reconciliation. It's a big word, atonement, as well. As you and I are atoned or brought into this position of reconciliation with God. And He came for that specific purpose. He also became man that He might inherit the Davidic covenant, that He might be after the line of David. He came that He might be an example to the saints. The Bible says that ye should follow His steps. The Bible says, "He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked." And so He came that you and I might have an example. He went through the things that you and I go through. The Lord Jesus came as a man that He might, and listen, I get excited about, destroy the works of the devil. Does He have influence? Does He have ability? Of course He does. Listen to this in Hebrews 2:14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." He who has the power of death, He who has the power to destroy you and I, Jesus Christ went through that destruction only to come back from it to prove that He could overcome it. And as a man, He was able to do that. Destroy His works. Thank God today He came that He might destroy the works of the devil, as 1 John 3:8 tells us very, very vividly. But He also came to fulfill the promises and the prophecies of the Old Testament, as we've read and looked at some of those. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 69, it says, "And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, and as He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which have been since the world began." Jesus Christ came to this world with a purpose. That was to reconcile you and I unto God. He came to this world that you and I might have a King. One who would rule, and one of these days He will. He came that we might have an example of what righteousness is all about. He came to destroy the works of the devil, which are manifest everywhere. He came to fulfill the prophecies and the promises of Scripture. But brethren, may I also remind you, He came to this world as a man that He might one day become our High Priest. You see, what's so important about that? A High Priest is really like a mediator, like in reconciliation. When we pray, we do something often at the end of our prayers. We will say, "In Jesus' name." We have no idea most of the time what in the world why we even say that. We somehow think it's some kind of magic formula. If we don't put it on the end of our prayers, it might not make them a real prayer. By the way, did you know you don't have to bow down on your knees to pray? Did you know you don't have to fold your hands to pray? Did you know you don't have to close your eyes to pray? Did you know you don't have to start your prayer with, "Dear Lord"? I've had prayers as simple as, "Help." Haven't you? "I need help." But it's always with one reason we can get through to God. And that is because we're going through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we say at the end of our prayers in Jesus' name, it ought to be registering in our hearts and our minds that it's only possible to talk to God because of what Jesus made possible for us. It is literally in His name we come to God. He's our high priest. He knows our infirmities. Why? Because He was man. He understands those things. I've honestly, as a pastor of church, I've had people sometimes say to me, "Well, you don't understand what I'm going through. You've never gone through this." Did I live in the dark ages and miss out on something? "Well, preacher, you've never known this. You've never known that." And in some cases, that may be true. But let's understand this. Jesus Christ has always known those things, though He never participated in it. By the way, do you realize that you can counsel and help people without actually having done it? But He was a man. He understood it. He realized the frailties. He experienced what we do in our bodies. And yet He overcame through all those things. He is our intercessor. He is our high priest. He did those things for us. But there's something else I want us to see. And like before you take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 1. I labeled the first two things, the fact of the virgin birth, and then also the purpose of the virgin birth. I want to label this portion of the message the brilliance of the virgin birth. And when I use the word brilliance, I'm not talking about how smart it is. Though never has a plan been so intelligently designed as the virgin birth of Christ. Nothing has greater wisdom. But I'm not speaking of its brilliance. Notice with me in chapter number 1 and verse number 3, and I think you'll understand what I'm coming from. In verse number 3 says, "Who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." Oh, look at that first phrase especially. "Who being the brightness of His glory." Our Savior, born of a virgin, from this description of brightness, is showing to you and I in vivid form that He is indeed the Son of God. That word brightness literally means out-radiating. Radiating out from, like the beams of light from the sun. You see, it is Jesus Christ is how we see God. To the disciples, Jesus said, that when they saw Him, they saw the Father. He is the brilliance of God. He is that which shines out from Him. It is God come in the flesh. But consider with me this morning what they did to Him 33 years later. This one who shines out from God, what did they do? They crucified Him upon the cross of Calvary. As Peter preached on the morning or on the day of Pentecost, he confronts them and says, "You have slain Him. You killed the Holy One. You've killed the Son of God. Yea, you killed God." But also in that sermon, he wanted them to understand they were not victorious over Him. He came up out of the grave. And the resurrection is the great theme of that first message. May I say to you, we are guilty of killing Him. We are guilty of replacing Him with another of our own making. We're guilty of that throughout our lives. And by the way, Christian, you and I so often, even after we're saved, guilty of killing the Anointed One by not allowing His brightness to shine in our soul. Rather than looking to Him, we look at the glitter of the world. We get enamored with the things of not God, but of the devil. And sometimes we allow that which God made to become more important to us than God who made it. Now let me go back. I said I'm angry this time of year. A little, not angry, but upset. Because there are people trying to steal my Christmas. But you know what? I'm speaking to God's people right now. We steal it from ourselves too. When we allow all the glitter to become more brilliant than the brightness of the Son of God. When we allow all the fanfare to be more important than Jesus Christ Himself. You know what I'm trying to say? We get mad at the world because we walk into a store nowadays, they won't say Merry Christmas, they say Happy Holidays. By the way, there's something you can do about that. You can say Merry Christmas and go to the next store. Pretty simple. And we get upset because they're taking down the manger scenes in public places. And we get upset because there are folks saying, "We don't like you praying in Jesus' name in public anymore." But quite honestly, brethren, we ought to get upset at ourselves. Because far too often, we replace Him too. As we did before we were saved, we do afterwards far too often. Oh, how we need to let Christ be the main objective of our celebration. How we need to let Him be the one who is the center of it all. I heard some kids the other day, they were singing, "Here comes Santa Claus, here comes..." No, that wasn't it. What's the one where, I can't remember it now. He sees you when you're naughty or nice. Yeah. I was making up new words. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. You know what we do? We take something and make that more important than Jesus Christ. Do you ever consider, the book of James says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's where they come from. Those are the gifts. And yet we we get everything all mixed up. Don't allow the world to steal your Christ who came to die on the cross for your sins, to be born of a virgin, to live a perfect life, that He might die in our stead. Don't let that happen. We do it so easily, don't we? We get upset when somebody writes Xmas instead of Christmas. But by our very lives, we often do the same thing. We often do that. We forget the greatest gift of all, and that is the gift of God, that we might have eternal life. Amen. He's the brightness that shines forth. And we need to take our sunglasses off and see it for what it is. Amen. Let Him be who He really is. If you're not saved today, you don't know Christ your Savior. Listen, He came that you might be saved. That's why He came. That He could be born of a woman, that He would be man, that He might die. That He might take that position that you and I deserve. He did that for us. And that's His gift to us. And like any gift that you receive from any individual, it's bought and paid for by them. All you do is receive it. Wow. You don't work for it. You receive it. That's all you got to do. Amen? Yeah. And it's yours. And what's neat about it is this. When you receive it, nobody can take it from you. Because when He puts it in your hand, I read in John chapter 10, He puts His hand round about it, and then God the Father puts His hand round about that. And who in the world is going to break through? I'm in His hands. Amen. It's not up to me to keep it. He does the keeping. Amen. Martha, you've lived a long time. You're old. We love you. We love you. Amen. After all these years, you know this. You know there's no way in this world that you could hold on to salvation. Because you keep messing up all through life. You've done things wrong here. You've done things wrong there. A lot of them. Yeah. I'm not talking to Doc because Doc thinks he's perfect. But I'm talking to you because you understand this. He really knows too. We can't keep it, but God can. Amen? That makes it even brighter. It's yours if you want it. Christian, don't anybody take it from you. I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking to you about the fact that Jesus came for you the first time. Amen? Celebrate it. Be excited about it, however you want to do it. You know. But He came. Praise the Lord for it. And He's coming again. Amen? And I'm glad when He comes again, it's not going to depend upon whether I've been naughty or nice. He's just coming to get me. Amen? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you so much. We have the privilege to know you. We thank you, oh God, that you sent your Son to die upon the cross of Calvary. We thank you that because of that virgin birth, he was not only able to die, but as God to rise again, that we might be justified of our sin. Oh Lord God, I pray that you would just work and bless in our hearts. I pray, oh God, that this season that we set aside to celebrate your coming, Lord, that we might be excited that you did, and excited that you're coming again, and willing to share the wonderful story. Oh Lord, I pray that you would just work that in our hearts and our lives, blessing the lives of those without you, that this year they might be able to truly celebrate the fact that Christ came for them. Work in these moments, whatever need there might be, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.